Hey, what's going on? We're back. Back in the Toyota. I absolutely did not want to do this podcast, but I'm jumping on here just for you. I don't know why. Some days, I can't even imagine being a fucking, like, I feel bad for the, like, Bill Burr and like, these people that do this shit every week, especially him, like, jumping on here by yourself when you're not feeling it, when you're not feeling, like, being silly or fucking silly. I don't know, it's just, and he makes a living at this shit. This, for me, it's legitimately a time killer. And I guess the reason I'm doing this is because I'm fucking tired. I don't know why. I don't know, this drive just sucks. Coming back from Scott's Bluff, we got a job over there we're working on. It's becoming a goddamn pain in the ass. It's really not that bad, but just, it's just so fucking far. I'm not big on these travel jobs anymore. I used to do them more, and honestly, back then, we didn't drive to them every day. We fucking went, and we stayed there for 3 or 4 days. But I've kind of given up on that bullshit because I don't want to be away from my kids. I'm already away from them enough as it is with hunting and stuff. I want to be home at night. So, anyway, not that you give a fuck, but I'm on my way home from that, and I got tired. I was actually listening to some other podcasts. It was about to put me to sleep, and I was going to become a fucking statistic. And some roses along the road. That's fucking morbid, I know, but I just figured, what the hell? What the hell? I'll just jump on here and make some half-assed content for you folks out there. I've had some shit to say, but I just haven't really felt up to it. I got a bit of anxiety from this hunting season. I love how, you know, everybody looking in thinks that everybody's life is so fucking, must be nice. You get to hunt all the time. What are you, a fucking millionaire? Do you even do anything? Yeah. It's not, everybody's life fucking sucks at times. And I'm not whining. I have a great life. But that doesn't mean I don't get fucking anxiety. Like, this year's been a little rough because, I mean, it seems like I'm having a pretty good season, but to me, I've had a couple of runs, this last hunt included, that were just dog shit. You know, the grizzly hunt was literally brutal. You know, 7 days of just not being able to do what I wanted to do as far as hunting, not being able to pursue an animal, just fucking handcuffed by weather, just fucking punched in the face by, you know, Alaska. And then you feel guilty because you feel like you're gone, and I mean, you accomplished nothing. And I mean, that's the whole point of this fucking earn your hunt bullshit that I fucking spew. It's literally so that I can, I mean, it, this whole thing that I came up with is just something that I needed over the years to help subside my anxiety. And it was really just a means to an end or whatever. I don't know. I started doing more, you know, trying to really fucking crack down when I'm home, when I'm at work. Like, so when I'm gone, when it's hunting time, when it's time to go fucking hunting, I don't feel guilty about being gone because the money's getting the money's good, everything's paid off, you know, jobs are running smooth, and the family's fed, happy. You know, we're not in debt. But The one fucking thing that I did not anticipate is kids. You know, and I have probably scoffed and told people to fuck off when they've told me that kids will change your life. They'll change who you are. Yeah, go fuck yourself. I ain't letting anything change me. But, and that's just a fucking arrogant, dumbass comment that everybody fucking uses. I did. And now I'm the asshole that's like telling my buddies, like, oh man, you just wait. You know? Kids will change you. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I have been very lucky. You know, I still get to do a lot. I still get to hunt. I mean, I know I've talked a little bit about this before, but it's a different kind of love. I don't love my kids more than I love my wife. But they, I don't know how to even say the, I mean, it's hard to even say because I love my wife so much. Speaking of which, it's our anniversary. Happy anniversary, baby. She's probably not listening to this ever. She might listen to it at some point to fall asleep, like I've said, but, and we're only 6 minutes in, so maybe she'll make it to this point. Probably not. She fucking can't. She can't stay awake long enough to fucking watch an episode of anything. But anyway, I love my wife. She's the greatest person in the world. She is literally my best friend. I know it's so gay. Like, saying... It's so stupid because... I mean, today, you know, it's our anniversary, and I thought about doing the mushy, mushy fucking post. She did one, kind of. And just the way I've been feeling lately, I just haven't, I've just got, you know, I'm just a little down in the dumps. No big deal. But I just didn't really feel up to it. I was like, it's nobody's fucking business. Go fuck yourself. I love my wife. It's our anniversary. It's 9 years. We've been together for 11. We've been married for 9. It's crazy to say. But yeah, I don't know. It's with the kids thing. It's because they're so vulnerable, you know? I mean, I know that my wife would be fine without me. She is a grown-up. She is a very smart and just a great person. She's a fucking grown-up. She knows how to live. My kids do not. And that is, I know I'm just spewing shit. It always seems like I'm just saying shit that's obvious, but fuck you. You're listening to my podcast. You listen to me say the obvious shit and nod to it. But yeah, I mean, the kids are just so reliant on you. And my daughter is getting to that age where she is getting very attached to daddy. And it's hard for her. And I know I've been kind of talking about this year because it's been extra tough this year. She's been, every time I've been going to leave, you know, they aren't fake tears. You know what I mean? Like, when you see, if you're a dad or a mom and you see actual pain on your kids' face, that you know you are partly the cause of. And I'm not talking about when you yell at them for doing something fucking that they're not supposed to be doing and they cry. That's different. That is, I don't know why it's different, but it's fucking different. Because yes, they are in, you know, they are sad because of you yelling at them. But when they are actually sad for a legitimate reason, it is the most unbearable feeling in the world. And I know, I've told myself, and I'm telling you this because if you're young or you're about to have kids or whatever, I want you to understand. It's, you still got to do it. Like, you can't give up being who you are. You cannot fucking, I mean, there's a balance, no doubt. And it's a tough line to balance on. It's definitely, I'm noticing that it's getting tougher. Because right now, I mean, as far as financially goes, I'm pretty fucking, like, I'm not rich at all. Not even fucking close. But I'm comfortable, and I can spend money on hunting. And if I don't go to work for a few months, it's fine. I'll be fine. Because I can jump right back in and go make the money that I need. You know, I don't, it's not, I mean, I've got a good system going. So then that makes it hard, because not only that, I have the means, but I also have more time. Like, I have my business set up the way I want it. You know, I only have to take the jobs that I want. I've got good help. I can leave. And yet, you know, I've earned it. I'm there. I've made it. And now I've got this little 6-year-old, you know, with puppy dog eyes and tears coming out of her face. And it's just, it's hard. It makes it fucking hard. And that's why, you know, I mean, fuck, call it bribery, call it whatever you want, call it bad parenting. Go fuck yourself. You go parent the way you want. I'll parent the way I want. But we do, you know, like these special trips. Like, we just got back from Rapid City. We went up for one night. My daughter had Monday off, so she was, so we're like, all right. You know, I kind of told him, and this is what I do. Like, I'm like, listen, sweetie. And I'm talking about my daughter more than my son, because he is still at the age where he doesn't really give a fuck. He loves me, he misses me, but it's different. Like, he's not, as long as mom's around, he's good. Like, I kind of was joking this morning with my wife. I'm like, literally, I was in the bathroom, I was in front of my wife, I was closer to the door, my son walks in, you know, all cute with his blankie, and he's rubbing his eyes, and he looks up at us, and my wife's behind me by the mirror or whatever, and I'm there, standing there looking at him, and say, hey buddy, what's up? And he legitimately just walks all the way around me in a big ass circle. It goes straight to my wife. It just snuggles her. And I'm like, all right. And I made the comment. I was like, yeah, that's how it works. He does that, and then Lexa does that shit to you. So it works out. And legitimately, we went back down. We were downstairs, standing in the kitchen. My wife standing by the table right next to where her room door is. She comes out of the living room door, and I'm in the kitchen. She does the exact same thing. Walks all the way around mom, comes straight over to me, gives me a big hug, and then of course she goes to mom, and same with my son. He comes to me. They still love us both, but you can tell there's an obvious fucking bias between them, and probably a little bit from the parent's side. You know, I probably baby her a lot more. I do baby her a lot more than my wife is the same way with my son. So all things I've talked about, but and I know it's kind of a fucking rabbit hole of bullshit, but that's all this podcast is. It's just a bunch of bullshit. I don't know. It's a new thing, and I don't exactly, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to earn it with her. Really, I mean, just being there. I mean, I know it's not, you know, I don't want anybody to think like it's just like brownie points. Like, I'm trying to like earn up enough money or, you know, brown points to get to leave. I mean, in the layman's terms, that's kind of what is going on. But when I'm at home, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to be with her. I'm trying to snuggle her. I'm trying to help her with her homework. I'm trying to pick her up from school even on days where it doesn't, like, it makes zero fucking sense. Like, I pick her up from school and then I take her to my wife's daycare up at the college because that's her after school program type thing. And she could just walk up there. My wife has one of her teachers come and get the other kids. You know, there's other school kids that go up there. But I take time in the middle of the afternoon, which is kind of like right in the middle of doing other things, to go get her. And I don't mind that. And I want to take her to school in the mornings and do as much as I can. And I know this is boring shit. And all you fucking super dads out there are probably kicking my ass, you know, winning fucking whatever. However you, you know, you do you. I'm not looking for advice here. You try to, you want to piss somebody off, talk about their fucking marriage, wife, or fucking tell them how to parent. That will fucking get you a punch in the nose, all right? Or if, you know, most of these guys out there probably slapped, you probably get a little bit of backhand slap to the forehead or something, you know? You got to bear with me. I'm not funny as it is, and today I don't feel... My comedy today is extra shit. But you got to give me credit because I am doing the podcast and I am going to post this, I think. So anyway, yeah, I just been feeling guilty and trying as hard as I can to... just make my daughter feel as special as possible. We have conversations, you know, I tell her, you know, there, the beginning of this September, she was really struggling, and I laid down with her, and I said, look, sweetie, there are people out there that have it way worse. You know, there are people that have parents that are in the army that don't get to see their parents for a few years. You know, there's parents that are separated, and you only get to, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not even sure I covered that, because I don't want her to think that, yeah, I don't, mostly I just went over, like, there's parents that travel for work, and they're gone. I said, this is daddy's passion. I tried to explain it to her the best I could, and she, you know, she understood, and I get it. She's still sad when dad leaves, and she'll be sad. Here's one amazing fucking... This is why my wife is the greatest, all right? This is why. So this year, what she started to do... This is a great fucking idea. You can give this shit... You can use this for your wife because it's the literally the best thing that I've ever seen in my life. So one of the first trips I went on this year was my caribou hunt. And when I got home... Throughout the whole ride home, the kids were kind of alluding to, hey, Dad, we got something for you, blah, 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 blah. You know how the kids are. They basically tell you what they've done. But this time they didn't. They didn't share it. And when I got home, they hit me with this. They had this big notebook. They put it in my lap. And when I opened it on the first page, what my wife had done, the fucking saint that she is, they are now making a journal for me when I'm gone of the things that are happening while I'm gone. And they include, you know, parts of my hunts. Sometimes, you know, my wife prints out pictures of the hunt. You know, she'll, like, in that, you know, tour, they just do 3 or 4 pages maybe. Each one of them get to draw on a page, and then they write some stuff, and then my wife writes some stuff that they say, you know, she asks some questions, then she writes down what they say. It's a fucking unbelievable idea, and she gets pictures printed and cuts out pictures of stuff they're doing at school or at home, kind of telling me what they did / how they're feeling. And it's always like, we hope you got one, Dad, and we love you, Dad. And I mean, I'm almost fucking tearing up right now thinking about it. It's the best. Seriously, I told my wife, I said, if this house is ever on fucking fire, get this out. This is one of the first things that gets out of the house. This means so much to me. It's an amazing fucking idea. But yeah, anyway, so back to my daughter, you know, she's struggling a little bit, and we've had a conversation, and we're about out of the fucking long term, you know. And it's not just them, you know, work the last few years has been pretty slow, so we haven't had any big jobs, you know. And not that my crew can't handle a week here and there by themselves, but I always just feel like the fucking hat, you know, the shoe's about to drop, all right? I just feel nervous, especially when I don't have service. Like last week when I was elk hunting, I didn't have service most of the time, and you're just expecting to, like, get a little bar of service and then have a text message that comes up that's just like, fucking red alert, you know, this and that happened or whatever. It just, it gets a little tougher when you've got, more work. The anxiety just gets higher. My guys are crushing it. My wife is crushing it. That's what I have to tell myself. You know, you have to rely on someone else besides yourself. And that is a little harder. I'm not very good at that. I'm a micromanager, really. If I get down to brass tacks on it, that is how I operate. I'm very, gotta have my hands in there. And even like as a boss, you know, sometimes I feel so guilty for not being on the job site 24/7. And I'll tell you right now, every fucking job site I've ever been on, I'm not sure I've ever seen the boss there. You know what I mean? Like, that's not true. The boss usually shows up here and there, but all these, even most of the subcontractors, it's not the boss that's there working, unless they're a real small company like I am. Most of the projects we've been doing, these commercial sized projects, fucking boss never even walks on the job. He might be on a fucking conference call. You know, you get to see him when we, you know, I'm usually the guy wearing my fucking tool belt whilst on the Zoom meeting. On the progress meeting, I'm like, boys, you're really killing progress, all right? I'm here. Do you really need to fucking spend an hour and a half talking this shit over? I'm, you know, busy. But I still feel guilty about it. This time of year is really the only time I do it. I just manage, and I just let my crew work. And you know, it always goes real smooth, but it's hard for me. So anyway, that's what I'm dealing with. I know I just spent 25 minutes talking about it. I'm sorry. But this year's been tough. And, I don't know. I've had some good success, and I've had a couple of, I just had really only two trips that went to shit on me. You already know about the Alaska trip, but let me recap last week for you. I was going to do a full-on day-by-day recap, but fuck that. Like, I'll tell you the highlights, and you can tell me how terrible of a hunter I am, because me and elk just don't get along. Me and the rut. Pretty much any animal that's rutting. Sorry, I needed a drink. Any animal that's rutting, I suck. So, I kind of put off elk hunting this year. I had a decent tag. Took me 5 points to draw. I know. And kind of put it off. But, you know, I had other hunts to go on. I was doing, you know, I went to South Dakota. Went to Alaska. Hunted at home. It was just busy. And I was like, well, usually when I have an elk hunt, now honestly, I've never put a lot of time into elk hunting. I've never put in the time to learn how to elk hunt. I've elk hunted a fair bit, and I've shot a couple of elk, but normally my elk hunting, and I know I've said this before too, but it's usually just while I'm hunting something else. I'll buy an over-the-counter tag, or hey, I got a mule deer tag, or I got a elk tag, or a moose tag, I'm going to just buy a tag and having in my pocket just in case. So that's how I hunt elk. So I've never really put in the time, and I am completely and utterly over OTC. I'm not doing that shit no more. Just not doing it. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know, get a unit. Never been in the unit. And I'm going to learn how to elk hunt in a spot that there's going to be less hunters. It's actually known for elk. Not the unit. I mean, it's not like a pristine, like, high quality. Obviously, it only took me 5 points. It's not like one of these really high-end elk hunts. But the some of the areas around there, I know I'm going to give away the unit, but I don't care. You guys can fucking have it. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I know that there's good elk there, and I know if I would have put more time in, I would have figured it out. If I'd have just been there at a little better time, it would have worked out. But I'm not planning on going back there. Something about Colorado, I'm kind of maybe done with that state a little bit. I just kind of hate being there, you know. It's very fucking political. I don't know. I don't like the feel anymore. Sorry if you live in Colorado. I mean, whatever, you know. I'm surprised all... If you're a Snyder licker, you probably aren't listening to me anymore. But I'm guessing most of those guys have moved to Wyoming. Because you can't fucking lick the boots unless you live in the town. Or in the state, whatever the fuck. But anyway, decent unit. And I was thinking, you know, this is my chance to really, you know, learn how to call elk. There should be a fair number of elk. Less hunters. And I should be able to find, you know, that herd and call and at least call one of these fucking raghorns in and kill it. That's my goal. I don't want to call in and kill a herd bull. I mean, obviously that would be awesome, but my goal is just to learn how to hunt a fucking unit where the elk are actually acting like elk. And I've been in some of those situations, even in OTC. I mean, I killed my biggest elk in over-the-counter. Let me just brag a bit here. If you don't know, Big Daddy's biggest elk is almost 370 bull, over-the-counter unit, fucking DIY with the stick. Yeah, I did that. That was me. I did it. Pure fucking luck. And, you know, we worked hard, but I'm not going to go over that. I might tell that story someday. I know I've already probably told it, but I've had some decent experiences. And that bull was bugling, and it was in public land, and there was, you know, a fair number of hunters there. But we had, you know, gotten into a spot, my buddy's spot. It's not my spot. My buddy's spot. What the fuck was that? That looked like a fucking cat stuck to the front of a fucking vehicle. Car. Maybe it's too... It's pretty close to Halloween. Maybe that was a fucking gag. But that looked like a fucking cat stuck to the front of a car. anyway, so... I just was gonna... This was gonna be the year. You know, I was gonna spend some time and figure this shit out. Well, usually when I have tags, I'm hunting early season. I'm like, this year I'm going middle of the month, middle to end of the month, and I'm going to fucking get into the, you know, more peak rut, and I'm going to, you know, have a little more weather. It's going to be a little colder. The elk should be bugling. I should at minimum be able to fucking chase the herd and pick off one of these dumbasses that's trying to get in there, you know, on the outskirts of the herd. I should be able to do that. Boys, that is not fucking... Of course, I get there, and it's... I'm not shitting you. In 6.5 days... 6 days? I don't know. I probably only spent 6 days. That was the other thing. By the time I got there, I only had 6 days of the season left. But in 6 days or 6.5 days, whatever it was, I almost never put a fucking a sweater on. I think even in the mornings, even in the low fucking temperature mornings. Supposed to be low temperature. Fuck, it was like 50 degrees. With highs in like the mid-80s. High 70s. And the wind blew all goddamn night. And it was a fucking full moon. I know I'm making excuses here, but Jesus Christ. You talk about the worst possible fucking conditions to hunt anything in the rut. So anyway, I'll be honest. I'm not going to go over it every day. I'm just going to kind of nitpick or like cherry pick certain things and how I went about it. And tell the funniest things that I can think of that happened. But I went, let's see, I got there. Let me just see if it was 6.5 or 7 days. I got there on, no, I hunted Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Fuck, I only hunted six days. Monday through Saturday. And I think, actually, it was only 5.5 days. Whatever, fuck. Somewhere around 6 days. So, I... where was I? I guess I went for 5 days without hearing a fucking bugle or seeing an elk. Let me let that fucking sink in. In a 5-fucking-point unit, and I know what you're thinking. Well, you dumbass, you were not where the elk...
You just weren't where the elk were, Jake!
Thanks for fucking letting me know. I had... This is the funny thing. I had scouted this summer for 4 days, because that's all I had. 2 different trips, 2 different weekends, 2 different days. So 4 days. Saw one elk the entire fucking time. Lot of sign, but all old. All old sign. No rubs. I never found one single rub. That should have been my fucking first key. Is they are not rutting in these areas. But all these areas that I was scouting and hunting were... I had 2 different local fucking legitimate dudes. And I'm not going to say who they were, but they're legit. Like, if I said their names, you would know them. All right? And they're not fucking... Well, anyway. One might be a little bit Snyder Liquor-ish, but... He's a good dude. Like, I don't blame him for it. A lot of my friends still lick balls. but they're good dudes. They know hunting. They live there. They live near there anyway. So I had good intel. Neither one of them had hunted it. That's the only bad thing, is neither one of them had really hunted the archery season. So we were kind of going off of best, you know, what they'd seen and what they'd heard from other people. And then one guy had hunted late season. Okay, so I had a lot of good pins and I found a lot of sign. I did find a wallow. Well, I found the wallow that I was told to go look at. Found the wallow. So I kind of thought I had it licked. And I put on a fair bit of miles, not a crazy amount. The thing is, people are always like, you know, it's hard to say. Like, somebody's like, I did 20 miles in the mountains. One day, 20 miles. And I kind of like, where did you look around? Like, hunting, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do 20 miles in a day. But for me, like, a good day in the mountains is probably 10 to 15. If I'm really moving, but I'm moving slow and I'm checking areas and I'm actually, you know, doing my thing. Like, I was leaving camp at least an hour to an hour and a half before daylight, because I was pretty certain they were partying at night, because I hadn't heard a goddamn thing all fucking day during the day. And it was hot and the full moon. I was like, they're partying at night, no question. So I would walk around in the dark for an hour and a half and listen, do a little bugle, just a little, just to try to get something to spur off. Never heard a goddamn thing. Never even spooked an elk. That's the funny thing. Like, you could say, oh, Jake, you're a terrible fucking hunter. You just, you know, you were in them. You just didn't see them. You just didn't fucking blah, 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 blah. You didn't, you walked too fast. You walked too slow. You could say any one of those things, but even a fucking shitbag hunter, if there were elk where I was at, would have at least bumped one. I'm not saying I couldn't have bumped one a ways out in front of me and not hurt him, but every single time I've moved through the fucking elk woods, gotta hate when people phrase it like that, but I just did, so I'm one of those fucking douches. But every time I've ever, you know, you always hear that crashing away, the big hooves. I mean, you could tell when it's a deer, you know, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. You can hear them fucking bouncing off. You can tell when it's a fucking elk. Never. Didn't hear a fucking thing. I ran into a couple of deer. Nah, just does. Found a couple of deadhead deer that were decent bucks. Fucking moose everywhere. Of course, last year I couldn't buy a fucking moose. I had a moose tag, cow moose tag last year. Couldn't buy a fucking cow moose. And this year I had multiple ones standing in the trail as I fucking walk up to them. Bulls fucking grunting and running cows around. And I had one of the coolest fucking experiences with a moose I've ever had. And that was the other thing. You know, I put in quite a few miles, but there was a day and a half that I just sat water because one of my buddies was like, all the elk I've heard that are getting killed right now are over water. It's hot. They're not bugling, they're not rutting. So I found a couple kind of remote water holes and I set up on them. One on one of them one evening. It wasn't that great. It was kind of closer to the road. And then the other one was like 2.5 miles in. It was like the only water around. I was like, this is awesome. It's kind of up in the, it was like at 8,000 feet. You know what I mean? It was kind of up in the, I thought it was probably going to be dry, but it was pristine. A few tracks around it, but you couldn't really tell. You know, I mean, you could tell trails were coming in, but there was no, like, oh my God, the elk are hammering this. And there was sign everywhere around it, but all old. I never saw any real fresh sign in there. Should have been my fucking key, but, you know, whatever. So I was like, I'm going to give this a full day. And that morning, I was sitting there, and I hear, oh, oh. I turn around, fucking, here comes this moose. He wasn't a giant, but a decent bull. You know, I don't know how big, but it's on my Instagram. It's the last fucking, it's the only elk. You can see, my moose videos. And he seriously comes right by me at like, I don't know. He walked down to the water, probably passed me about like 7, 8, 10 yards. Walked out into the water, started drinking. I was videoing him. And then he walked across and up towards me. I almost got a little bit nervous because, like, he was kind of looking at me, but he didn't look, you know. He kind of knew something was there, but he wasn't worried about it. And I'm not shitting you. He crossed by me at, like, 4 or 5 yards. It was so fucking cool. And he was grunting and tearing up a tree. And it was just fucking awesome. It would have been even more awesome had I had a fucking moose tag. So that was one experience. I also ran into some fucking hippie ladies and gents up there. Jesus Christ. I was coming down the trail. I backpacked in, a couple of days to this one area, just fucking covered the fuck out of it. Like I said, didn't see shit, but I was coming back out of there. In the morning, I had checked an area and I was like mid to late morning. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to come out midday and use midday to get to the next area. Like, I was covering country trying to find what I was looking for, which was elk and bugling elk. So I could use the fucking sound because it was powder dry in there. You know, it was super dry and, there was no, I mean, still hunting would have been rough. Especially when you didn't know. I mean, if you knew there were elk there, you could probably, you know, do it. But anyway, I was covering country, so I was coming out, and I hear these fucking two girls gabbing. They're coming up the trail, and I see them. They see me. They kind of come around a corner, and we're probably like 50 yards apart, you know, at this point. And they just stop. Not stop walking. They just stop talking. They kind of like start kind of like looking down a little bit. And the trail's a little tight, but I kind of like, when we get a little bit closer, I'm like, good morning. And I'm not shitting you. They didn't even say a, they didn't even fucking look at me. They just fucking, and I'm sure I stunk to high heaven, you know. I'm in it 3 days now, or whatever, 3-4 days at this point. Of no showering, because I didn't shower, you know, when I left on Sunday. I probably showered in the morning. So I'm like 3 or 4 days of no shower, sweating my dick off in the hot sun. You know, I'm sure I stunk, but Jesus, you can't say good morning to a fucking fellow human being? Go fuck yourself. That was like when I decided, like, fuck Colorado. These fucking douchebags, you know? Anyway. What else? I kind of did the gamut on this one. I backpacked a few nights, and then I came out, and then I set up, then I went to a spot where I was gonna have to take my four-wheeler down a nasty, rough road, and then hike off of it, and, so I just set up, you know, in one of these tent camp areas, you know, I mean, fuck, there was ATV riders camped right fucking next to me, you know, that type of thing, right off the county road, just pulled up. So I when I go elk hunting, I have two different backpacks set up. I have one for day hunting and I have one for backpacking. And if I find elk, or if I go see an area that I want to go check out that's a couple miles in, and I've got a lot of area to check past that, I usually take my backpacking setup, and then I had my big Alaska whatever tent from Cabela's. It's kind of my truck camp, so I set that up. You know, it's luxury. I got my fucking light in there, and my cot, and my sleeping bag. I mean, it's fucking nice. So I had that. I did that for a couple of nights. And then I've always, one thing I do when the weather's not too terrible, I know it's not going to fucking piss rain on me. A lot of times when I don't, you know, when I'm moving to a new area, I'll just throw the cot up right next to my truck. And throw my sleeping bag on it and just fucking sleep on it under the stars. God, that's a terrible fucking Bill Burr. But yeah, I'll just sleep out there, and it's nice. I haven't had it bite me in the ass just yet where I got like a downpour. You know, usually at least it like starts spitting rain, you can jump in the truck. So I did that. One or two nights, I don't remember, but yeah, it was 5 days of brutalism, and finally on the last day, I had been given some coordinates to this tiny little fucking piece of public land. It's like 400 acres, private all the way around. It was kind of hard to access. It almost looked like on the map that you couldn't access it, but I went down the road. It said it was a private road on X, but when I got to the area, there was one spot kind of V'd, and the area that I needed to go to didn't say private road, but the other one did. So I was like, all right, and it kind of kept going to other properties. So I'm like, they can't stop people from accessing the fucking public land if other people get to. It's not just a driveway to somebody's house, it's a driveway to many people's houses, so go fuck yourself. And it goes right through this little chunk of public land. So I pull in there, I got set up or parked my truck, and I started walking, and there is a shitload of sign, rubs everywhere. I still didn't hear anything that night, no fucking sign, you know, fresh shine. Saw a bunch of moose sign. Saw what could be, probably was an elk wallow at some point. Did some calling, did some cow calling, set up decoys. You know, I was like, this looks so good that I'm just going to sit in this one spot and call. So I did that. And then at night, I got up kind of high on my way out just at dark, and I bugled a few times. And I'm not the best caller, but, you know, I mean, fuck, I've heard elk bugle to, you know, everything. Just doesn't take much, especially if they're not super pressured. And didn't hear anything, so I was like, fuck. So I decided to go back out and go to a different area, an area that I'd already been to. Actually, it was the area where the wallow was. Went over there, camped by the truck. And when I woke up, I was getting all my shit ready. And I was just about to hike out off the road. And I hear a fucking bugle. And from note one, I knew this was a fucking elk hunter. For one thing, it was coming from back where I knew there was a camp. And where all the road system was. Like, it was coming from the area where there was humans. And you could hear the fucking echo of the bugle tube. I mean, it was mine. I'm sure that's what people say when they hear me bugle. So I'm not ragging on the guy, but I'm just saying, like, I was not excited to hear it. I'm like, fuck. So then I had to make a decision, and I said, God damn it, that little tiny chunk of public land. Fuck it. I'm just going to go check it for the morning. If it's not good, I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to try to get home tonight. It's the last day. The evening's not going to be worth a fuck anyway. And so I went in there. I went to the very far end of it where the public was just this tiny little jut out of tiny acres between, like, there wasn't, I think there was, you could hear dogs and shit barking, but I actually ran into bugles. Elk were bugling on the private land. And so I set up, started calling. I bugled. I'm not a big bugler. I'd rather cow call. So I kind of bugled back and forth a little bit. And then I got set up and just started cow calling. And I ended up cow calling up a cow. Of course, the bitch came up right in the fucking thickest shit you could find. I had my decoy set up. And I'm pretty sold on these decoys, honestly. Just after this one experience, I can tell you right now that this is what you need to use. Because I'm an influencer, and I used it once, it worked, so now that's fucking gospel. Use it! But I tell you, that decoy fucking kept that bitch there for a long time. Like, she wanted to leave, like, two or three times, but she kept coming back and looking at it. And I just never could get a clear shot on her. I mean, it's the last day. I was going to shoot a fucking cow, of course. I tried to keep bugling, and I pressed on all the way to the private. And those bulls shut up late morning. And I just, you know, call it giving up. Call it whatever you want. I mean, yeah, I could have probably went back in there in the evening. But I just didn't have that warm and fuzzy, tingly feeling. And you know, I left a half a day early. That's what I did. I'm a pussy. I just said, fuck it. I don't feel my odds as a caller. Those elk probably could have pushed into that public land in the evening, and maybe I would have. It was real thick. That's another thing that I'm kind of done with. Real thick fucking hunting for elk. Fuck that. Like, I'm not a good caller. Like, I want to be in area where elk are calling. I want to get close to them. And then I want them to fuck up. You know, I'll throw out a few calls here and there. I can make elk sounds. But I'm not an expert on elk at all. And I'm never going to tell you I am. Fuck that. I just would prefer to hunt them the way I like to hunt. Which is fucking shadow them. Get kind of close and let one of the bitches fuck up, because that's how I roll, you know? So yeah, fuck the, and this was going to be thick country, and I'm just not that confident in it, so I said, fuck it. I don't know why I'm even trying to defend. I always try to defend myself to you cocksuckers. Go fuck yourselves. but anyway, so I came home. I wanted to come home, see my kids, and that was, I got home on Saturday night, And then Sunday morning, we decided to head for Rapid and do our little overnight, you know, little mini vacation with the kids, and did, you know, ate terrible food, did some jump craze, jumped on some trampolines, went to Reptile Gardens, saw some fucking gators, and did some swimming in the hotel. You know, just it was fun. It was fun to do all that stuff, and makes me feel a little better. I got one more trip here. One more big trip anyway. I'm leaving in 2 days. I'm leaving on Friday early to go hunt moose, fucking moose, up in Canada with my buddy Kevin. And Garrett Rosh is going with me. So that's pretty awesome. We got a hell of a... He's got a fucking terrible drive. He's coming up tomorrow, driving like fucking 12 hours from his house to my house. And then we're jumping in the truck the next morning at like 3 a.m. and we're driving another 18 hours up to Moose Country. But Kevin's been slaying it up there. He's been killing... He's had some good luck with bears, and they killed a big moose last week. And so I'm excited. I want to kill this fucking Canadian moose. I've been at it a few years now. Should have had one good bull on the ground already. But I've had some bad luck. The last time I went up was like terrible weather. Rut was shut down. We're going a little later. It's going to be cooler. Should be a good time. And I've got, if I have to, I'll stay a little longer. But so that's what I'm doing. What are you doing? Jake, I'm working. Because I'm a real man. And I work for a living, you fucking cunt. You rich cunt. Yeah, so I'll probably have a podcast. Try to do a podcast with those guys. One last thing I'm going to leave you with. I'm not doing it. I'm going to give you guys some notice. And I really don't fucking care if you join in on this, but I'm going to probably be posting about it so everybody can... Because everybody's like, oh, how's the cold plunge? How's the fucking this and that? Like, I'm literally doing... I know I say literally a lot, but I'm just like a... I'm like a 15-year-old girl at heart, you know? But I am doing everything... Like, health has become a big thing for me. Like, I'm trying to learn and figure out supplements and working out. You know, I try to work out a couple times. You know, I try to run, do cardio. Then, you know, I'm sauning 3-4 times a week. Cold plunge almost every morning. And then if I can, 3-4 days a week, I'm trying to lift mid-afternoon or after work. And so it's become a real important thing, all except for diet. And I lost a bunch of weight, but I really wasn't on a health kick. I was more on a calorie deficit kick. Like, I was still eating garbage, and I still am. Like, hunting season's terrible for me. I can't fucking not eat shit. And it's not, I can't start it till we're done with this run of hunting, because when we're traveling, you know, I've got fucking cookie dough sitting here next to me for work. But what I'm trying to say is, me and my wife have decided that the 23rd of October, I will be back from all my hunting and my fucking around. We're going to take a full month from the 23rd of October to the 23rd of November, which is, I think, the day before Thanksgiving this year. We are going to do the fucking Paul Saladino style carnivore diet. That's what I'm doing for a month. I'm going to see how my body feels. I'm going to see how it reacts. I'm going to see how everything goes. I'm going to go all in. And I'm 100% going to post about it, because I'm a douchefluencer and you guys want to know. But I'm going to try. And I've talked my wife into doing it. She actually sounds kind of excited about it. Here's the thing. I think she... Because she's got some, like, gut things that... I know she wouldn't like me talking about that, probably. But, like, her system is more sensitive to different food. Like, I can eat garbage and still feel pretty decent. Like, I can eat... Like, I eat, like, 8,000 calories and then go for a 5-mile run the next day. And, my fucking joints hurt a little bit, but it's not, like, terrible. But I think she's going to feel way fucking better. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, we'll probably fall off the wagon a little bit around Thanksgiving. And then if it's really going well, hopefully we're just like, man, fuck that. Let's just keep going. And we'll stick to the diet. And that will be the last, straw in my cap. Cap in my straw. Is that fucking feather in my cap? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right. Well, I think that's the podcast. I can't believe I did 55 fucking minutes when I didn't want to do any minutes. Just goes to show you how fucking long-winded I am. I guess follow along next week when we go moose hunting in Canada. Have a good day and go fuck yourselves.